Podcasting Technology of Normal is made possible by Red Aphid Interactive Media. More information at redaphid.com. And distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. This is your daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Welcome to the most popular audio podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world, featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, and Normal staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about the show at our website, normalaudiostash.com. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. Welcome back to the Audio Stash today. It is Friday. It is April 20th, 420, 2007. I'm your host, Chris Goldstein, and we have a huge show for you here today. First, it's very important to note, Normal and High Times are teaming up together. Many thanks to the High Times crew. I visited High Times magazine on Wednesday of this week to gather up some audio for our 420 show. And there's a special cross-website promotion going on today at normal.org and hightimes.com. Everyone wants you to join Normal today, and the regular $35 membership fee has been dropped. You can join Normal right now for $4.20. So join Normal right now for $4.20 on $4.20. You get a last year's conference poster from the Normal Conference, a great poster that's up there. You can find out more. We have links on our website at normalaudiostash.com or just visit hightimes.com or normal.org. We do have a huge show for you here today. Bobby Black, Rick Cusick, Miss High Times 2007, all joining us here today from High Times Magazine. We'll also hear from Alan St. Pierre, Paul Armentano, Dr. Mitch Earlywine, all from the Normal Foundation. We have some spectacular music for you today, including the first track we're going to get to today is Keller Williams. He tours around with the String Cheese Incident. He's on the String Cheese Incident label, which is SCI Fidelity Records. It's a great song called It's a Plant. We're going to play that for you here in just a few. But first today, on 420 week, there was really some incredible important news regarding how THC helps actually shrink lung cancer tumors. We're going to have an in-depth discussion about that cancer story today with Dr. Mitch Earlywine and Paul Armentano. But first, here on 420, let's discuss the origins of this holiday today. We'll speak with Steve Bloom of CelebStoner.com and High Times Magazine. Steve Bloom is a former editor at High Times and currently runs CelebStoner.com, the place where everyone can find out about the famous folk who enjoy a toke. Steve joins us each Friday here on the Audio Stash for a CelebStoner.com update. But today we have a special segment for our listeners. Steve, welcome to the Audio Stash today here on 420.
Hi there. Happy 420.
Many thanks, Steve, and happy 420 to you as well, man. Now, you were really the perfect person to ask this question. Tell us, what are the origins of 420 being associated with marijuana?
Well, I have a unique relationship to 420 because back in 1990, when I was a news editor of High Times, I was covering the Grateful Dead, going to Dead shows, and covering the Deadhead scene. And I was at a show the week of the New Year's shows that they had in Oakland. They used to have like a full week of shows that would culminate with a New Year's Eve show. And I was in Oakland. It was around the 27th of December or so, 1990. And I was just walking around the parking lot, and some deadhead passed me a flyer. And the flyer had a whole story about 420. And it talked about getting high at 420, a big day like today, 420, celebrating together, collectively, stoners all getting high at the same time. And that seemed to be kind of the theme behind 420. And, you know, I had never heard of that before. It was totally new to me. And I brought the flyer back to the High Times office, told everybody about it. Nobody had ever heard of it before. And we published it in the May issue of 1991, that exact flyer, verbatim. And it really spread from there. Honestly, I think High Times had as much to do with creating 420 as anyone. In a sense that, you know, we didn't come up with the idea, but once I found that flyer, we published it, and it started to find its way through the marijuana underground pretty much from that point on. Now, what was 420? You know, 420, according to that flyer, was a police code for a marijuana smoking violation. Marijuana smoking in progress is what they said, I believe that's what it said. And for those first few years when 420 was sort of like just, you know, peering in the magazine occasionally one way or the other in the back of the book on our Hot 100 list and things like that, we assumed that that was correct, that, you know, that it was a police code and that stoners had decided to sort of flip the code around and smoke at 420 as opposed to getting arrested, you know, with the 420 code. And so we believed that. And then in 1996 or 7, a guy named Steve Waldo contacted High Times, actually contacted Steve Hager, editor of High Times, and said that he was and his friends were the ones who coined the term 420. And they came up with a bunch of evidence, letters that they had written, correspondence, posters and banners they had made from back then, around 71, 72. These guys had gone to school at San Rafael High School in Northern California, Marin County. That's kind of the heart of the Grateful Dead area because that's where the Grateful Dead production office was based. And so what we believe is that these guys did come up with this idea of 420 as a time after school for high school students to get stoned. And then it kind of made its way through the Grateful Dead scene. And then it came out, you know, by sort of the late 80s with Deadheads, you know, proclaiming that 420 was a code. And then these guys came back around saying, hey, no, wait a second, we were the ones who created it and didn't get any credit for it. And so High Times did declare that the Waldos, the five guys, were the inventors of 420. So we gave them the credit, and pretty much that's where it stands today.
And you're out there in Houston for a 420 event. There are a lot of happenings for 420 this year, it seems.
Yeah, all over the country. It's really blown up, especially, I think, because it's a Friday this year, you know, which is just a good night to go out. You know, it's a, you know, obviously Fridays, you know, thank God it's Friday and everybody can, you know, kind of relax and have a little fun on Friday night. And, so this year, you know, 420 is Friday. So it looks like it's just blown up this year. On my website on Celeb Stoner, I have on the right hand sidebar, a listing of all the events that I know of that had flyers or advertisements, and I counted up 13 of them total for today, which is pretty good. I think it's the best list out there. High Times has a list too, but I think it's the most definitive list, and I'm sure there's a lot more than 13 events, but it, you know, that's just the tip of the iceberg. So yeah, I'm in Houston at the I came down here thanks to Houston Normal and Steve Nolan, who is the head of Houston Normal, and Steve invited me to come down and represent High Times and host the 420 festival that they're having at Last Concert Cafe today, starting at 420. So actually I'm going over to do a radio interview before I head over to, you know, help start up that event. So I'm excited. I've never been to Houston before, and it seems like a nice scene down here, so I'm looking forward to meeting everybody.
And do you have a special message today, Steve, for our listeners on 420?
Well, I think today's just a day to celebrate and, you know, to join together and smoke together, but also think about, as Alan St. Pierre, you know, from Normal, the executive director, had stated on the website, that today's also a day to think about, you know, all the, you know, the people who were in jail, all the people who have been prosecuted, all the people who have been turned into criminals because of marijuana prohibition. And so it's just not a happy-go-lucky day. It's a day to think about, you know, what's, you know, wrong with the policy, how we can change the policy, and what you could do today to protest. You know, today when you celebrate, you're also protesting. So, you know, consider 420 as a political day of celebration.
Right on, Steve. Many thanks for joining us here today, and have a very safe celebration out there.
Thanks a lot. To you too, Chris.
Steve Bloom is the editor of CelebStoner.com. Go on up and check out the headlines this week. The top three NFL draft players admitting having smoked marijuana. There's one. Matthew McConaughey voted top celeb stoner on the site. There's another headline. And Steve Blum and Brooklyn Normal participating in the Normal Tax Day in New York City this week. You can see pictures of their protest up there. It's all at CelebStoner.com, and we have links to it on our homepage today.
What's up, everybody? This is the infamous Bobby Black from High Times Magazine, and you're listening to Normal's Daily Audio Stash. Stay cool.
Now let's get to important breaking news from Normal. POTS active ingredient halts lung cancer growth, study says. The administration of THC significantly reduces lung tumor size and lesions, according to preclinical data presented this week at the annual meeting of the American Association for Cancer Research, or AACR, in Los Angeles. Investigators at Harvard University's Division of Experimental Medicine reported that THC inhibited the growth and spread of cells in vitro from two different lung cancer cell lines and from patient lung tumors. They also reported that THC administration reduced the growth of lung tumors in mice by more than 50% compared to untreated controls over a three-week period. Researchers noted that THC appeared to block a specific cancer-causing protein in a manner similar to the pharmaceutical anti-cancer drugs Erbitux and Vestibix. Results of a large-scale case-controlled population study published last year found that smoking cannabis, even long-term, was not positively associated with an increased incidence of lung cancer. Investigators in that study noted that one subset of moderate lifetime users had an inverse association between cannabis use and lung cancer, leading them to speculate that cannabinoids may possess certain protective properties against the development of lung cancer in humans. Separate preclinical studies indicate that compounds in marijuana inhibit cancer cell growth in animals and in culture on a wide range of tumoral cell lines, including human breast carcinoma cells, human prostate carcinoma cells, and human colorectal carcinoma cells, among others. Most recently, investigators at Madrid's Complutense University School of Biology reported in the British Journal of Cancer that THC administration decreases recurrent glioblastoma multiforme or brain tumor growth in patients diagnosed with the disease. For more information, please contact Normal Senior Policy Analyst Paul Armentano at paul@normal.org. Listeners can also download the Normal White Paper, Cannabinoids as Cancer Hope, available online at normal.org. Joining us today to explore this cancer story more are Dr. Mitch Earlywine and Paul Armentano. Mitch is the author of Understanding Marijuana, A New Look at the Scientific Evidence, and professor of psychology at State University of New York, not to mention editor of the new book, Pot Politics. We have links to those books at normalaudiostash.com. Mitch, welcome back to the Audio Stash today here on 420.
Oh, great to be here.
And thanks again for joining us here today, Mitch. Now, you know, let's talk about this cancer research. Tell us more here. It was presented this week by Harvard researchers.
Well, this is, you know, the end of a whole series of research that has sort of suggested that THC or the cannabinoids are involved in immune function. We've always had this one cannabinoid receptor, the CB2 receptor, that we see in the immune system, and it's been a real mystery about why this is there and how it might work. And then we've had data in the past suggesting that long-term marijuana users don't seem to have lung cancer, despite all the ranting and raving about their inhalation of smoke and holding it down, et cetera. Well, this study suggests that this may be part of the mechanism, is that THC keeps tumors from developing. And this isn't just something that happened in a petri dish. They actually did have live animals here who had cancer and then received regular injections of THC. And these animals ended up with markedly smaller tumors, and the number of cancer lesions on their lungs was also significantly smaller, suggesting that THC really does have wonderful potential for treatment along these lines, And sort of the tacit assumption here is that maybe this is the mechanism behind why people who smoke marijuana and only marijuana don't seem to end up with lung cancer. I don't want to give folks the impression that smoking marijuana is incapable of creating other respiratory symptoms, though. So just because it doesn't give you lung cancer doesn't mean you can't end up with a cough or tightness in the chest or other things. And so I do want to have my usual vaporizer soapbox available if folks are considering smoking marijuana as some kind of cancer prevention. That's really not the case.
Now, Mitch, in all these cancer studies, they're injecting THC right into the tumor. Is that right?
Exactly. So it goes right into the tumor. It's not as if these rats are getting it in the brain or somewhere else. So this is a localized sort of treatment. It's not just a general... I think that at least taking some of the restraint off the way the research has to be done in order, you know, to do this. So this was synthesized THC used in a lab with lab animals. We need to have a human clinical trial as soon as we can. And, you know, getting to that step is going to take quite a few hurdles through ethics committees and other sources of THC. We'll have to wait and see. But I felt like, yeah, if our general attitudes about the plant weren't so bad, then our confusion about the THC molecule would dissipate, and then the opportunity for having a wonderful way to, if not cure cancer, at least decrease its intensity would be more available.
And we hear about stem cells all the time, and even the director of the National Institutes of Health is calling for the federal ban on stem cell lines to be lifted. But even this stem cell research, if it were moved forward uninhibited by politics, real treatments with stem cells would be decades away. You know, with all of this cancer research regarding THC, if prohibition were to end, how quick could this be developed into a human treatment?
In truth, it's hard to second guess, the future of science. But to go from a lab study where THC is decreasing the size of tumors in a rodent to a clinical trial with humans shouldn't take particularly long. I mean, the adaptation of other drugs from rodents to humans has been incredibly rapid and sometimes hauntingly too fast. But here's one where in a couple of years, it certainly seems like it'd be completely reasonable to have some clinical trials with small samples, particularly with, you know, drug companies as eager as they are to help people relieve some of the real problems associated with tumors that are larger and larger and growing out of control.
And Mitch, it is 420 today, a day of celebration and activism for American marijuana smokers and those who enjoy marijuana all around the world, really. But Mitch, you are not just confined to the science of cannabis. You speak to many groups about prohibition in general. So Mitch, when you speak to those who want marijuana to stay prohibited, what do you say to change their minds?
What I'm finding more and more is the approach that I initially took when I wrote Understanding Marijuana was to try to educate people with the science and to show them the data and to make it clear that this is something that, though not absolutely harmless, is clearly something that adults can handle and use without any negative consequences. Now I'm discovering that the folks who I talk to who are the hardest core prohibitionists actually respond to a different argument, and that is one that I learned from the political philosopher and lawyer Doug Cusack. He has a book out called Legalize This that is just some wonderful reading. But he points out that here in America, we like to think of our laws as fitting an idea called just deserts, and that is the penalty for a crime is associated with and correlated highly with the severity of the harm that the crime causes to others. So, of course, we want to have a penalty system where murder has a worse penalty than double parking or, you know, something that clearly isn't causing as much harm to other people. Once he lays out that argument, it's obvious then you say, well, what harm does possessing a plant cause to other people? Clearly, none. And under those circumstances, then, why is there a penalty for marijuana possession? And I have to lay it out by asking folks questions. I have to say, do you believe that the penalty should fit the crime? And, of course, who's going to say no? And then once I've laid that groundwork with them, then I can sashay slowly into, and what should the penalty be for owning this plant? And I do see lights go off.
And I feel like that is an approach that if you're talking to prohibitionists as often as you can, and I feel like that's something I really recommend, this moral argument is something they respond to very, very nicely.
So here on 420, maybe marijuana smokers shouldn't just seek out our like-minded friends, but also take the chance to spread awareness about ending marijuana prohibition with those who might not necessarily agree with that view yet.
I don't want to interfere with anybody's enjoyment of 420, and everybody's got to do it the way that they think is best, but I would love for this to turn into a way for us to responsibly communicate with the individuals who don't understand where we're coming from. And it's wonderful to have a march and have everybody smoking a joint all in one spot and to show that this can happen without any negative consequences. That's an interesting approach. But I would love to see if anybody's willing to get all dressed up and go to their local church or something like that and talk to the people who really wouldn't go anywhere near a march and think everybody there is just some kind of a motivational stoner, and say, here are the data, here is a moral argument, here is a wonderful way for me to spend 420, are you guys willing to engage in a dialogue with me? And now you become an educator, you become an activist, you become a real resource, and it's an interesting way to go to bed on 420 and feel like you've really gotten something interesting done, not just had a good time.
And really everyone, not just pot smokers, everyone really knows about 420 now being a day about marijuana.
I have some ivory tower colleagues 20 years older than I am who have never even seen cannabis who still know that 420 means marijuana. So I'm optimistic that this is making its way into the common parlance and popular culture.
And Mitch, having you on the Audio Stash each week has really been a wonderful experience. I want to give a great personal thanks to you for your involvement here in the program. And also, I want to ask if you have a special message for our listeners here on 420 today.
Well, all I can say is I really genuinely appreciate the support. I'm so grateful to all the folks who email me and who go in and vote for the Audio Stash each month. And I really enjoy this, and I'm looking forward to doing it for weeks and weeks. But I also kind of fantasize about the day when there won't be a need for a group that has to reform marijuana laws because marijuana laws are already fixed.
Well, Mitch, I really do believe we're very close to ending prohibition out there, and this dream will be realized much quicker than many people think. So thank you very much again for joining us here today, and have a great and active 420 there yourself.
And same to you, Chris. Enjoy.
Dr. Mitch Earlywine is author of Understanding Marijuana, A New Look at the Scientific Evidence. He's also editor of the new book, Pot Politics. We have links to the books at normalaudiostash.com. Mitch joins us each Wednesday here on the Audio Stash for his segment, Cannabis Science. Also joining us today on this story is Paul Armentano, Normal Senior Policy Analyst and author of the Normal Report, Emerging Clinical Applications for Cannabis and Cannabinoids. Listeners can read that report online with links we have at normalaudiostash.com. Paul, it gives me great pleasure to welcome you back to the program today here on 420.
Thank you, Chris. Good to be here.
Thanks again for joining us here on this busy day, Paul. Now, let's talk about this incredible cancer THC story from those Harvard University researchers that came out in Los Angeles this week. Tell us what you saw in this research that was presented.
I am pleased to see that this has gotten quite a bit of publicity. Bloomberg, which is a newswire service, did carry the story, and CBS News, Fox News, and some others have picked it up. In short, what these Harvard researchers found was that both in animals and also in a petri dish, when they exposed certain lung cancer cell lines to THC, the THC halt the spread of those of the cancerous cells. And in animals, what they found most noteworthy was that mice that were administered THC, I believe daily, but over a three-week period, they had a 60% reduction in lung cancer cell tumors as compared to mice that were not given THC. So it was a very dramatic reduction in the growth of tumors that in this study certainly looks like it could be attributable to the administration of THC.
And we've discussed the brain cancers or gliomas as well as breast cancer tumors that have been shrunk in the same way by THC. So is that what's happening here, too, with these lung cancers?
Well, interestingly, as you know and many of the listeners know, this research has been going on for some time. In fact, it's in its third decade, looking at the use of cannabinoids as potent anti-cancer agents. And researchers throughout the world have actually looked at the use of cannabinoids as anti-cancer agents for a number of cancer cell lines, skin cancer, lung cancer, breast cancer, prostate cancer. What they typically have discovered is that cannabinoids appear to do two things that stave the spread of cancerous tumors. On the one hand, they seem to limit the blood supply to the malignant tumor itself, and by doing so, it stops the tumor from growing. The other thing that seems to be happening is that cannabinoids selectively identify cancerous tumor cell lines, and they trigger what's known as a cell suicide. They cause the cell to turn on itself and kill itself. The key here is that it's selective about it. It leaves the surrounding healthy cells unharmed. What I noted was interesting in this Harvard study is that in this case, the researchers speculated that THC appears to block a specific cancer-causing protein. This would be, to my knowledge, the first time that has been speculated as a particular mode of action for why cannabinoids appear to have this potential anti-cancer ability. And in one of the Newswire stories, they compared cannabinoids' ability to do so with several other prescription anti-cancer drugs that are now on the market.
So, Paul, you know, if this were anything else other than marijuana and THC, would we still be waiting for a human cancer treatment after all of this scientific research?
I certainly think if we are talking about any substance other than cannabis, certainly this would be something that human trials would have taken place quite some time ago. Certainly you wouldn't have U.S. government-funded trials that show positive results and never see the light of day like we have had in the past with certain government-sponsored trials looking at cannabis as an anti-cancer agent. Like I said previously, I am very pleased to see not only that this study, even though it was a preclinical study in animals, did take place in the United States, but also that it is being reported as a major news story in this country. One of the disappointing things that I believe or that I've read associated with this study is that there were a couple news reports that, believe it or not, quoted researchers, not affiliated with this study, but independent researchers, who commented that they were concerned that the mice in this study that were administered THC, that they showed some symptoms that one would otherwise associate with intoxication. Apparently, the rats had loss of motor coordination to some degree, and they had an enhanced appetite. And the investigators were sure to warn that if we were ever going to use THC or a cannabinoid as an anti-cancer agent in humans, we would have to be very careful about the dosage because, God forbid, that there could be these side effects of intoxication. I can't imagine that if we were talking about any other agent that in a preclinical trial had shown a 60% reduction in the spread of cancerous tumors, we would have a caveat that said, but we should not even consider giving this to humans unless there are no intoxicating effects. I mean, I find it shocking that we're actually talking about a trade-off, whether we should actually withhold human patients from using a drug that might potentially halt the spread of lung cancer because, God forbid, it might stimulate their appetite and they might feel slightly intoxicated. But that's unfortunately where we are.
And we don't have to be cancer experts to know that a lot of the current cancer treatments like radiation or chemotherapy, those treatments have serious, serious side effects that can veritably kill on their own.
Of course, side effects that are much more serious than the munchies.
And Paul, here on 420, what message do you have for our Audio Stash listeners there from Normal Senior Policy Analyst today?
I certainly think that it is a time for individuals in the cannabis community to stand up and essentially, I don't want to say come out of the closet because I think that phrase is a bit overdone, but I think that there is no reason why adults who use cannabis responsibly should not be proud of the fact that they use cannabis responsibly. And they should be able to be open with others about that fact. That's what needs to be done to try and change the stereotype that politicians, the media, and others have made pervasive of the, you know, stoner who does not have goals, who's not just like everybody else. The reality is that adults who use cannabis are really no different than their peer group other than their marijuana use. And were that the message that was permeated by the media, I really do think the politics of this issue would change much more quickly than they have.
Paul, this has been wonderful, and I look very forward to speaking with you more about this cancer study next week right here on the Audio Stash.
Sure, no problem.
Many thanks again, Paul, and have a great 420. Paul Armentano is Normal's Senior Policy Analyst. For more information about how THC kills a number of cancer tumors and other incredible scientific research regarding marijuana, read the Normal Report by Paul, Emerging Clinical Applications for Cannabis and Cannabinoids. We have links to it online at normalaudiostash.com. Still to come in the program today, music from Keller Williams, Bobby Black from High Times Magazine, Miss High Times 2007, and more. Stay tuned right here to Normal's Daily Audio Stash.
What's up, guys? This is Miss High Times 2007, and you're chilling with us here at the Normal Podcast.
Alan St. Pierre, Normal's Executive Director, took a special note of the fact that here on 420, as we celebrate, we can't forget that over 750,000 Americans are arrested for marijuana violations each year. And the consequences of that can be rather harsh. One of the people who had marijuana prohibition come down on him particularly is Bernie Ellis of Tennessee. There's a benefit concert coming up next week for Bernie, and we'll speak with him in depth on Tuesday's Audio Stash next week. You can find out more about Bernie at SaveBernie'sFarm.com. Again, that's SaveBernie'sFarm.com, and we'll have links to it on our website as well today. Bernie could very well lose his farm that he's lived on for almost 40 years because of a civil action by the DEA. Bernie wasn't really arrested, but after found having grown marijuana on his property, he was doing it for AIDS patients in Tennessee. After a drug task force removed the growing marijuana from his property, 3 months later, they hit him with a civil action that was about property forfeiture. Here's Bernie talking about his benefit concert taking place on April 25th. Again, more information at SaveBernie'sFarm.com.
First of all, I want to say that I am honored that Alan St. Pierre, the executive director of Normal, has agreed to come to Nashville to MC the benefit. I really appreciate Alan doing that. We have several stellar musicians. We have one of the most entertaining blues, Cajun, Zydeco groups called Delicious Blue Stew performing. Who will give us just a wonderful set of sort of Mardi Gras and Louisiana-tinged blues. We are very appreciative that Suzanne Firing and her jazz trio will participate to give us a jazz portion of the evening. And then we have Jonelle Mosser, who is probably one of the most favorite soul singers in Nashville, an extremely accomplished artist and songwriter, and she's going to be accompanied, and her band will be accompanied by Mike Henderson, who is one of the most sought-after studio guitarists in the city. They, again, have volunteered their time for the evening. In addition to Alan emceeing and our musicians, we also expect to hear from our state legislators who are sponsoring the current effort in our legislature to reestablish our state's medical marijuana program, which existed from 83 until 92, and we're long overdue to reestablish it. We're also expecting that Some of the 100 people who wrote letters of support will also speak. We also should be able to, or not should be, we are planning to provide complimentary tickets to the benefit to local hospice patients and their caregivers to get them there. And you're right, we do have limited seating. It's a very historic theater in Nashville. The general admission tickets are $20, but we have two premium levels of tickets, $45 and $100. For the $100 level, we'll have pre-benefit meet and greet session with our speakers and performers. And we've actually got some limited edition T-shirts being produced that will be available. So the artwork for the benefit is visible on my website, again, www.savebernie'sfarm.com. I would be remiss if I didn't mention that one of our local radio stations has agreed to broadcast the entire benefit both on the air and on the Internet. And so those of your listeners who live around the country who want to hear some Music City jazz, blues, and soul and some good medical marijuana mobilization talks can tune in April 25th from 7 to 10 p.m. Central Time to www.radiofreenashville.org. And they'll be able to hear the benefit in its entirety.
That was Bernie Ellis from Tennessee. More information about him can be found at SaveBernie'sFarm.com. He's just one of the over 750,000 Americans arrested and prosecuted each year for marijuana violations. Bernie's case is unfortunately not isolated. Join Normal today to end marijuana prohibition. We have our special 420 promotion. Join Normal today for $4.20. Find out how at normalaudiostash.com. Next up today, we got some great music. This guy, I just got turned on to him. His name is Keller Williams. He tours with the String Cheese Incident. He's on the String Cheese Incident label, SCI Fidelity Records. And we contacted the folks over there and Keller's manager this week and said, we gotta play this song. It's called It's a Plant. This is Keller Williams. We have links to him on our website today, and you can visit kellerwilliams.net.
It's a plant, but it can't grow freely, at least not in this space and time. Or can we begin? Shouldn't it be a sin? You're fighting against the soldiers of sense that brings a peace to my mind. Peace to my mind. Oh, why is it a crime? It's against the law, and I hope this freeze will thaw before I die from this space and time. And the politics, the folks who the nation picks, are they high? They're afraid to try. They're afraid to try. Oh, why is it a crime? But whatever you do, we can make sure it's the right thing for you. But if you pass, please allow us to roll around in the grass, because it's time. It's 420. 24/7, 365. and the nation's debt makes the man upset. We know that they know that the answer is in this space and time. Create work, display the fighting dirt, medicine clothes and the paper makes my head feel so fine. My head feels so fine. Oh, why is it a crime? Sure, it's the right thing for you, but if you pass, please allow us to roll around in the grass, because it's time, it's 420, 24-7, 365. Well, is it meant to be? Is it that far away from reality? Open up the world's mind and free the kind. It can lube the cars, mellow out the bars, make room in jail for the killers in this time. Because it's just the plan, but it can't. Freely.
Keller Williams there with that song, It's a Plant. We have links to his website. It's kellerwilliams.net. We have links to him on our homepage today. Many thanks to SCI Fidelity Records, the String Cheese Incident record label out there, for giving us permission to play that song here on 420 today. It was just so perfect. Now let's get to our interviews with High Times. Let's start out with Miss High Times 2007, Sarah from Texas. You can see her on the cover of the current High Times on newsstands now. We caught up with her earlier this week, just after she and Bobby Black appeared on the Howard Stern Show. Thanks for joining us here today.
Yeah, no problem.
Hey, listen, you were down at the Doobie Music Awards at South by Southwest. How did that all turn out down there?
It was really fun. Met a lot of really cool people. Smoked out. Nice.
You saw, I mean, Bloom has told me there's a huge amount of bands down there. I've been to South by Southwest in like 6 years, so it's like now like 3,000 bands show up for this event now.
Yeah, there's a lot of good music, so a lot of dancing and everything. We had a good time.
Right on. And what's it been like, you know, carrying this title of Miss High Times? You know, you've done a number of events now. I'm sure you're getting a lot of contacts out there.
It's been awesome. Like, I've got to communicate a good message to a lot of people and get through to people that normally may not hear about this issue and the importance of it and the benefits. So I feel like I'm doing a good thing.
Right on. And, you know, is it, you know, on 420, this is for our 420 podcast. You got a special message for our listeners out there on this, you know, as Rick was saying, celebratory and activism day.
Of course. Stay high, enjoy life, go out into nature and have fun.
And, you know, do you think that women in particular, that women need to get involved with this movement? Or do women really have a sort of increased role in reform right now?
Definitely. I think we're on the brink of a big female outbreak, because I've gotten a lot of response from females already, and they really dig that I'm about the movement and using my voice, and it's kind of inspiring them to do the same. So I think that we'll have a good turnout for female pot smokers this year.
Right on. I mean, have you seen, you know, there's a number of different websites up there, you know, for women getting involved with this sort of thing. Have you seen that out there? Have you seen sort of a greater involvement happen?
Definitely. There's been a lot more websites. I know Girls Gone Weed and all kinds of stuff like that promoting it. So it's a good.
Very cool. And you were on Howard Stern today. How did that turn out? How did they treat you in the studio there?
Oh, man, it was a crazy feeling being on Howard Stern. They treated us well, though, so it was nice. Howard was a real cool guy.
You know, is that the first sort of large network show that you've been on?
Definitely. It was huge. I've never been in a building that big, so.
Right on. Right on. So, and also too, you know, when you're on the cover of this, you know, this High Times out there, being on the cover of the magazine also carries a lot of, sort of a lot of weight out there in counterculture world, not just within the marijuana movement, but overall.
Definitely. I think that I've got the, my foot in the door where it needs to be right now. I'm meeting the right people, so I really can get involved and, help this movement along.
You were saying, you know, we're sort of on the sort of tipping the scale right now. What do you see out there as being the real catalysts for reform? I mean, is it online? Is that the biggest difference happening right now?
Well, the internet, of course, is helping because people are with MySpace and everything. They're getting to, you know, see things and learn things that they may not have before, you know. So I think that that's definitely part of it. And then just, you know, me getting out here on the radio stations too, because a lot of people that listen to the radio don't necessarily smoke pot. So, you know, they're having to listen to it too.
Do you think that's more of it, you know, right now, is that people are speaking to the non-pot smokers out there, that a lot of this message is reaching people, you know, maybe the half of America who haven't had the chance to experience marijuana yet?
Yeah, definitely. I think that's probably more important than reaching the people that agree with you, because you have to change the minds of the others that don't. That's a big part of it. We got to get more people on our side.
Very cool. Well, I really appreciate you taking time to join us here today.
No problem. Always a pleasure.
That was Sarah, Miss High Times 2007, right here on the Audio Stash today. We spoke with her at the High Times office earlier this week. We also got a chance to catch up with none other than Bobby Black, got a chance to sit down and record the following interview with him. Bobby is, of course, a writer there at High Times magazine, and he has his own Sirius satellite radio program. We have links to it on our homepage today at normalaudiostash.com. We're here with Bobby Black at the High Times office, 419 South Park in beautiful Manhattan. Bobby, welcome to the Audio Stash today.
How's it going?
Doing very well, man. Thanks for joining us here today. So it is 420, and what's on your mind today? What's on your mind, you know, leading up to 420 this week?
Well, this week has been kind of a whirlwind for me and for us here at High Times. We've had a lot of promotional stuff going on here. We have missed High Times here for the week, and it's our first time to New York, and we've been doing a lot of big media blitz. And we did Howard Stern on Wednesday morning, which was amazing. And we also have the premiere of the third episode of our reality show coming out today on our website, hightimes.com/podcast. And so, you know, which both Miss High Times and I star in. So, yeah, we got a lot of stuff going on this week.
Right on. And, you know, on 420, Rick was saying, you know, celebration and activism, you know, how do you view these things? How do you think that people can be most active out there?
Well, I think that, unfortunately, activism is necessary along with the celebration, because some people don't view what we do as celebratory. They view it as something that should be stopped and shut down. And I think it just goes to the addresses the point of our culture. As free as we say in America that we say we are, it's really a culture where we're very inhibited and prudish in what we say, not necessarily in what we do. As a culture, we don't act that way, but we pretend, we put on this facade. And part of, you know, what I try to do with my writing and in High Times, and also, you know, I'm also pagan, so in my spirituality as well, is I try to show people that it's okay to indulge as long as you do so responsibly, whether it be sex, whether it be drugs, whether it be whatever it is you want to do. You can enhance your life and you can make the world and yourself better by not oppressing and repressing those desires and those feelings and exploring them and enjoying them healthy, in a healthy way.
So it's a really sort of a humanist-based sense of spirituality here.
Yeah, well, humanism and paganism is pretty similar. Humanism is kind of like a secularized paganism to me. But I would call myself a humanist, definitely.
And what are the big things for High Times this year? What are the big upcoming things going on for High Times magazine and for your writing there as well?
Well, the biggest thing for me in the past year or recently was the Miss High Times pageant in Jamaica in January. It was the first time we did the event, and it went really, really well. And I'm projecting that it's going to be much bigger and much more elaborate next year. So believe it or not, I'm already in planning stages for next year. So that's in the works. As Sarah mentioned, we have the Stony Awards, which I think we'll be moving to L.A. this year. We've been having it in New York, but I think it's going to be moving to L.A., hopefully get some more celebrities out to come out and hang out with us and toke up with us. And And, of course, the Cannabis Cup, which is the 20th anniversary Cannabis Cup in November, which Miss High Times will be coming to, and I will be there, and it's going to be pretty amazing.
You know, tell us a little bit about the Cannabis Cup. I saw the video online of this year and sort of the High Times podcast coverage of it. Tell us what it's like, though. Tell us what it's like being there and sort of what people can expect if they've never been there before.
It's kind of like a stoner frenzy. It's like a few thousand, you know, stoned Americans descend on this poor, unsuspecting European city. And it's a lot of fun. You know, there's just weed everywhere. There's joints being passed. People are, you know, you're meeting people and smoking with people you've never met before. There's, you know, just like all sorts of mayhem going on. And it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. We have bands and events every night. And, you know, it's I gotta say, if you're really a hardcore stoner, it's something you should do definitely once in your life at least. And this is the year to do it, the 20th anniversary, because this is gonna be the biggest year ever. I've been to 11 Cannabis Cups, so this would be my 12th. But I have to say, I'm looking forward to the 20th.
Right on. You guys are also have the reality show, the High Times Office. I caught the first episode of that. It looks very cool and really kind of a behind the scenes here. People, I don't think they get the idea of how much work you guys put into this magazine. You know, maybe have a misconception that working at High Times is just 110% all fun all the time, but you guys have a lot of work to do to get this magazine out the door.
Yeah, people tend to think like, what do you guys do? Just sit around and smoke pot all day? And it's like, no, not really, because, you know, we do have a magazine that comes out every month, and we have a lot of other projects that go on above and beyond the magazine. So, I mean, I keep extremely busy. I mean, just running the Miss High Times contest is practically a full-time job in and of itself. But, there's a lot of work involved, but it's fun work, and you're doing stuff that you believe in and that you enjoy doing. So it doesn't feel as much like work, but it's still a lot of work. The reality show, we're very excited about. We've been in talks with Comedy Central and Showtime. They were expressing a lot of interest in it. So we started putting the episodes up on our own to sort of give them a taste of what they could be in store for if things pan out. But we've had the first two episodes up now, and that's the first few. The first storyline of the reality show is the pageant in Jamaica. So the first two episodes are up now, and then today, as of today on 420, the third episode just went up, and that's the Bikini Beach Party. So everybody should go to hightimes.com and check out the Bikini Beach Party podcast, I should say.
Right on. You doing events on 420 as well, live events out there?
Over at Sirius, I actually host a show called Contact High, which is a stoner rock show. And Sarah, Miss High Times, is going to be co-hosting. We have a special Contact High day. All day we play stoner rock and bits of stoner humor. And she's going to be co-hosting the special with me, the two-hour special and the stoner rock countdown. So that'll be really cool.
You know, let me ask about that. What's it been like, you know, having the Sirius show? I mean, that really brought you as a writer from High Times into a whole different world of broadcast media out there.
Yeah, it's been a real blast, I gotta say. I was a DJ in college. I used to have a heavy metal show for 3 years in college, so I had some familiarity with being on the air. And then, this is the third anniversary of my show, actually, because, it all started when I went up to do an interview with the metal director on Heart Attack, which is my station. And he was doing the Contact High Day special for the first time, and he brought me up to do an interview. And afterwards, we had clicked so well that he said, you know what? We should just give you a show. You should just come on and play stoner rock all the time. And I said, hell yeah. So been there ever since. It's been 3 years, and I've had a great time. And it's a great way for me to cross-promote with the magazine and expose people to a lot of really cool underground bands that don't normally get played on the radio.
Right on. So it really sounds like Sirius, you know, people may have this misconception of these satellite radio companies as being big corporate conglomerates out there, but it's really carrying on a real tradition of community radio, getting bands who aren't on major labels out there to a real mass audience.
Absolutely, and mass audience is the word, because local radio could never hold a candle to what we're doing. It's nationwide, and even in Mexico and Canada picks it up. I've had fan letters from Mexico and Canada. But there's a huge underground element to what we do at Sirius, especially certain stations. And, yeah, I just think it's great. We're all waiting to see what's going on with this merger with XM. We don't know what's going to happen when that happens, but hopefully I'll still have a gig. So hopefully there won't be some conservative bastard at XM who's like, who's this stoner Bobby Black guy? Get him out of here.
You know, and throughout your writings of the year, you know, between 420 last year and 420 this year, what is the biggest topic for you? What was sort of the highlight article and topic for you this year?
I think the best piece I wrote and the piece that that most affected my overall sensibilities was going to Burning Man, and I wrote a feature about Burning Man, my experiences there. I had a very spiritual and emotional experience there. It was more than just like a party thing, and that affected me profoundly, and I think that story was one of the best pieces I've ever written. I've also written some other things that caused some controversy, and those were pretty eventful. When we were on Stern on Wednesday, we went with Jennifer Steele, who was the girl who was famous for having a butt bong, and I had smoked out of her butt, and that caused a whole big controversy, you know. But, you know, to me, it's all just good fun, and like I said, I'm pagan, and I think that we should be as free with our sexuality as we are with our drugs, because it's all about your right to do with your body what you want to do, and we shouldn't be ashamed of sexuality. We should celebrate it just the way we celebrate marijuana. I see it, and they're intimately linked to me, and I think that if we say that we're ashamed of our bodies and we're ashamed of sex, then we do a great disservice to humanity, and people should just like lighten up and have fun and stop taking life so seriously. Live life as a comedy, not a drama.
So, you know, do you think marijuana and sex are just inexorably intertwined, especially here in American culture?
Sure, sure. I mean, certainly from certain perspectives. I mean, aside from it being an issue of personal freedom over your own body, it's also what it really comes down to is pleasure. The Judeo-Christian moral system punishes pleasure. You're not supposed to enjoy yourself. You're not supposed to have sex. You're not supposed to get drunk. You're not supposed to do drugs, because those are bad. They're sinful. They make everything that feels good sinful. And that, to me, is a backwards morality. And that's what I fight against in my writing and in my life. And I will never – what you see is what you get with me. I speak my mind. I speak my heart. And if people get offended, then so be it. It's not my intention to piss people off. But I'm not going to hold back what I believe or what I think. And I think that we should be, as a culture, we should be more open to sex and more open to drugs. And believe it or not, I think if we were more open to them and less derisive of them and oppressive of them, then there wouldn't be as many problems with them. The reason that we have so many problems is because when you repress desires and you repress things, they come back in distorted, perverted ways, you know.
And, you know, here on 420, what is your message from Bobby Black to the world, here to our normal supporters especially? What's your message here on 420?
I will quote Spinal Tap, "Have a good time all the time."
Right on, man. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks, man. It's great to be here.
That was Bobby Black from High Times Magazine. We have links to his MySpace page up on our website today at normalaudiostash.com. We're going to get out of here today on Normal's Daily Audio Stash with a bit of comedy. Leave everybody with a great laugh for 420 and the weekend. Here's Arj Barker, one of the original cast members and I believe one of the co-writers of the Marijuana Logs. This is from the Pot's Greatest Hits CD. That's produced by Lee Allen. We have links to it on our website today at normalaudiostash.com. Here's Arj Barker with Busted with the Crush.
But seriously, pot jokes, seriously? People always... no matter if you run out of weed, people are like, just fucking smoke resin, dude. Fucking smoke resin. It gets you high, dude. Resin gets you high. I never smoke resin. To me, that's like eating a turd. Dude, fucking eat a turd, dude. It fills you up. I have a friend. I live in Marin County, which is legendary, home of 420. And the people like smoke weed, but... My friend's like, I have a friend who just got busted 2 pounds of the fucking Crip, fucking Crucial. Fucking Crush. Busted. And it was his first offense, though, so he doesn't have to go to prison. Instead, they make him wear an ankle bracelet, and the rules are that he can only go to work, and otherwise he has to stay home all the time. And I don't think that's the best punishment for that guy, because I got a funny feeling if he's planning on staying home anyway. That's cool. We can put in the laughs later on the CD. Doesn't matter. That's the beauty of CDs, man. You just fucking plug it right in. That's not a good punishment for a fucking guy that got caught with 2 pounds of weed. You have to stay home and do nothing all day. All day. You. Stay home. Right. Fucking plug him in.
Dude, I went to Amsterdam. You don't even know, dude. You don't even know.
I brought home the stinkiest pot from Amsterdam. You know the kind of pot that's so stinky, you open up the bag, and everybody in the room's like, what the hell is that? And this pot is so stinky. It's not even good. It doesn't even get you high. It just reeks.
I don't know. Maybe it had something to do with the smuggling process.
What? Okay, fine.
Maybe I shouldn't have put it in my shoe. Or maybe I shouldn't have put my shoe in my ass. But I got paranoid. I mean, the weed was well hidden, but the shoe was sticking out like a sore thumb. Of course, those guys at customs are pretty professional. They're like, sir, where's your other shoe? I don't know. It's a hot day. It's too hot for both of them.
That was Arch Barker from the Pot's Greatest Hits CD. We have links to it and to download it on iTunes.com. It's a Lee Allen production, a great CD. And again, we have links to it today at normalaudiostash.com. And for everyone who stayed tuned today to Normal's Daily Audio Stash, we got a special giveaway for you. Send your email messages to freestuff@normalaudiostash.com. Again, that email address is freestuff@normalaudiostash.com. You send a message that says 420 normal, and we'll pick one of those email messages. The lucky winner will get a huge normal swag bag, as a matter of fact. It'll include DVDs, it'll include buttons, material, everything you need to be a normal member out there and also have a whole lot of fun. So send your emails into freestuff@normalaudiostash.com. That's freestuff@normalaudiostash.com. We'll choose a winner over the weekend, and we'll let you know who wins the normal swag. Thanks, everyone, for listening today. Everyone, have a very safe and active 420.
You've been listening to Normal's Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Make sure you visit our website at normalaudiostash.com. That's normalaudiostash.com for more information about every day's show. I'm your host, Chris Goldstein. Thanks for listening today. See you at 420 tomorrow.